is a useless man. Which hand is the hand is still number? What you're supposed to do is to do something to that hand that you remember forever. Never to use it again on your husband. Get out of my house. I drove the two of them out of my house. She reported me for village. She said, she called her husband. Me, I called the add fire. They phoned me. I said, don't mind that useless man. It's disgracing man. For a woman to do like this for you, he'll see you finish. He'll see you finish. If he say, you know, your father begin crying. All of them, no matter what you say, if you don't raise, I will. And of course, no normal man will beat a woman. No normal man will beat a woman. Then a woman now will come and beat a man. Ah! Who are there, sister, that replies against your God? The Bible said the head of the woman is who? It's the man. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that's not my sermon. Let's go back to predestination. Praise the Lord. I'm only looking at that verse in Romans chapter 9. Because, hallelujah, when it comes to salvation, who are you to say, why does God save this and God does not save this? That's what Apostle Paul is explaining there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are five groups of people that will receive eternal life. Five different groups of people in the scripture that will receive eternal life. But before I go there, you've been standing for too long. What's your question?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Also, please, my question is concerning the omniscientness of God, which we have all agreed based on Christian faith that God knoweth everything. But Pastor, please, I've been in a class where a question was asked by a lecturer saying that you Christians always say that your God knoweth everything. That is an omnipotent, omniscience, omnidis, omnidat. But why was it that your God said after Adam and Eve disobeyed that he regretted creating man? Praise God. Please, my question is, Pastor, please, if you are in that class, because many of us, we are short of words, a words of defense, what to reply the man? Because he said, why would God say that he regretted creating man after man disobeyed? Meaning that he have never knew that man would disobey when he created him. That was why he made that statement that he regretted creating man. Praise God. Please, the second question now, is concerning predestination, which you say that God have destined to each and every one of us in the line of life or the salvation which you are going to receive. Now, you know that in Christian community, mainly, let's just say Igbo land now, mainly Igbo nation is a Christian nation. And many of us, we are adopted into Christianity not just because we choose to be Christians, but it's just because of the family background that our families have been living that kind of church life. And that was why we are privileged enough to be coming to churches. And from there, many of us repented truly and become real Christians. Now, considering most of those nations where their original colonial masters were Muslims, they are not Christians. And the religion that was introduced to them were Islamic. Most of those people have not gotten the privilege to even hear the true message of Christianity. Now, how is God going to compare them in saving their soul in the last day, whereas the opportunity of hearing exactly what the message of salvation has not been preached to them? Praise God.
God bless you. I want you to just know your first question. Now, when you read the Bible and you see a statement that is made, you don't run off with one statement like that. Balance that statement with other scriptures. Then you will get the proper meaning of that statement. Now, when God says he regretted He regretted creating man. It is an expression of anger. That's all. It's an expression of anger. That's all. God knew the level they will degenerate into. He knew, even before the foundation of the world. He knew, if not, he will not be God. It's, now, in another portion, Moses was taking them out of the wilderness, and it got to a point where they were having problems with God and things like that. And then God came. He said, Moses, I am going to, you know, wipe the whole of this generation and start another generation with you, Moses. Then Moses began to talk to God. Ah, God, if you do this, people will laugh. People will say, so you brought them out of the wilderness and then you could not save them. This and that, this and that. And William Branham one day was explaining that portion. William Branham, somewhere in his message, he said, and it looks as if Moses began to advise God. Can Moses advise God? Can a human being advise God? The Bible says God counsels with himself. He said God wants to swear. He swore by himself because there was no greater than him that he could swear by. Praise the Lord. So you have to see how God sometimes will descend to the level of a human being and begin to talk like a human being. And when he's now acting like a human being, then a human being will forget that that is God just humbling himself to a level that he can relate to you and I. It was an expression of anger. God knows all things. That's why he is God. Nothing takes him by surprise. Your second question again.
Okay, concerning our predestination that you have talked about, I was asking based on the salvation which those nations who have.
Yes. Now I want you to note that you make a mistake. The fact that you were delivered in an altar, your mama came to the altar and delivered you here, does not mean that you become a Christian. Somewhere Apostle Paul says, not all that are in Israel that are of Israel. The fact that you have an Israeli passport does not make you a Jew. And so there are many people, like I always say, I wish you know who a Christian is. Every street in this Lagos alone, there are 2, 3, 4 churches. And yet, see the evil in the land. Almost everybody in Lagos is either going to a mosque, majority going to churches. But see all the evil in the city of Lagos. So it's not a criteria because you are born in a Christian family. That's why you have to have a proper knowledge of salvation, what salvation is all about. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke clearly. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall go around the whole world. Then the end will come. Everybody will hear this gospel before Christ will come. And thank God, we have satellites, television. No matter how they are censoring it in Iran. Even at the time when they were censoring Christianity in Russia, I know of an inter-message pastor, Ewa Frank, in Germany. He went to the border of Germany with Russia, the Eastern Bloc there, at the border there with those USSR, that period, and then put his radio station there and was beaming 800 kilometers into USSR. 24 hours, the gospel of salvation. And in there, people were listening. People were believing. It was an offense to gather and worship God. But they were hearing. As soon as that nonsense was broken, churches sprang up everywhere. There were already seeds that were planted there. So, in the Arab nations, I hope you know Christianity started from there. I hope you know Christianity started from the Middle East. Saudi Arabia and all those places, Turkey and all of them, they were the root from where Christianity spread to the whole world. So, there are churches there. There are places you may not know. There are places, as much as they fight Christianity, God gives them the opportunity to hear the gospel before they turn it down. And God's elect in those places, we hear it, they will believe. They will believe, and He will give them the Holy Ghost. They will be saved. Praise God. Yes, brother. Next person.
Praise the Lord. Sir, my first question goes like this. How can a man or woman know that she or he is saved?
How will you know you are saved? The Bible says, by their fruit, you will know them.
Sir, he said that if any man is saved, he is saved forever. Does that mean that somebody is saved, he or she cannot sin again?
No, I've just told you now. I say be ready too that when you sin, God will deal with you. There are stubborn children of God that will try to stray off. He will beat you back in line. There are people, some Christians that frustration too much, they will go and drink beer. If you are truly born again Christian, you go and defile yourself in any way, the first thing God does is He withdraws His peace from you. That is what every true child of God will experience. He withdraws His peace from you, and then you just discover no peace, no peace around you, no peace, no peace. That is the first. He does that to enable you to realize something is wrong. You come back and ask God to forgive you. He will restore the peace. But if you get stubborn and go ahead, you go and continue to drink that beer, before you know what, he will allow one infirmity come upon you like this. Go every hospital, there will be no cure. He has several ways of doing it.
Sir, does that mean that it's somebody that is worshipping God like this, and later he commits sin and dies in that sin, is he going to heaven or hell?
If what? He dies.
Yes.
You lose your reward. That's it. We are all going to face the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians. Let's open a scripture. Chapter 3. Hallelujah. Are we there? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me read it. Verse 13. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That answers your question. You will lose your reward. But you'll be saved though. You'll be in the millennium. But I don't know which position you will occupy. Praise God. Yes? Any sister asking question? No. Okay.
My question is this, sir. Through the foreknowledge of God and the predestination.
Yes.
And His omniscience. When I am trying to meditate this, I always run into confusion. You see, God so loved the world, and He so loved us so much that He created us in His image, and He put first man and first woman in the Garden of Eden, where there will be peace and they will not die. That is according to scripture. And at the same time, created devil, who will go and destroy that peace from them. So, when I begin to imagine this love, I will not understand it. And this is... because it is because of devil that is casted from heaven to earth that makes us to be running up and down, praying every day and all this suffering, all this kind of thing. So I don't really understand. When I begin to meditate on this, I used to run into confusion. So that is my own question.
Hallelujah. That's a very interesting question. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that, listen, when God created us, before he created man, he first created the angels. Hallelujah. But remember, he, God, created us in his own image. And one thing you have to know about the image of God, when you say created us, that is, he gave us his attributes. The attributes of God is also in us. Now, God has his will. He also created man and gave man his will. And he leaves you with choice. And that will, all his creature, he is going to put that your will to test. He started with the first creature, they are the angels. He put the angels to test. To test their loyalty, to test their will, to test their choice, which one they will choose. And so many of them, the Bible tells us 1/3 of the population of angels, we don't know how many they are, but 1/3, you know, failed and he cast them out. Now, when he created man also, he also gave man his own test. Just as he gave those angels the test, he also gave man his test. And man also failed. He did not create the devil for the purpose of coming to tempt man. No, the devil was there to also confirm who you are. Where you will choose. Are you going to choose God or you are going to choose death? He leaves you with a will. He leaves you. Every man on earth that will go to hell, you are going willingly. Willingly. Ask your neighbor, where are you willing to go? Answer your neighbor, answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not that God designed and put that devil there so that he will tempt man. No. Man, he was there for man to make a choice. Now, Adam had the ability to say no. But he said yes. And brought us to the condition we are in now. 1/3 of those angels in heaven had the ability to say no. But they decided to choose disobedience. And they ended up where they are now. So don't bring God into it. Of course, I'm also resisting the long explanation of the sovereignty of God. That God is a God with attributes. And the earth is only God's laboratory to express his attributes. When God existed, there was a time that God was not God at all. Amen. There was a time that God was not God at all, because God is an object of worship. So he was Elohim, the self-existing one. But in that Elohim, there were attributes inside of him. There was the attribute that desired worship to be God. There was the attribute of a father. There was the attribute of a merciful God. There was the attribute of love. There was the attribute of judgment. There was the attribute of a warrior. There was the attribute, and so many other attributes, attribute of a judge. And he wants to express every one of them. He chose the earth to express them. And so, he wants to be God in heaven. He created angels. And we know the whole duty of angels is just to worship him. It was after he created the angels that he became God, an object of worship. Praise the Lord. But now, he also had the attribute of a father. And before you can have a father, before you can be a father, you have to have sons. The Bible described Adam as a son of God. Adam was not an angel of God. He was a son of God, making God his father. Praise the Lord. But inside of him, he was also an attribute of a savior. And for him to express the attribute of salvation, a precious thing has to be lost. Therefore, he allowed his son, Adam, to be lost, so that he can come down and express the attribute of a savior to save Adam again. All demonstrating his attribute. He is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. He's a God of judgment. Apostle Paul said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the mighty God. So, you have to catch it like that. And to, for you to know that he's sovereign. He said, for he has created all things, and for the pleasure they are and were created. They were created for his pleasure, to do what he wants to do. He's a sovereign God. You have to understand that. That's why he allowed Satan to tempt Eve to fall. Because it will give him opportunity to express another attribute. Do you know that there are other routes that he will have taken the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land? But you saw the route he followed, where he could go find trouble. He will follow through the Moabite, follow their land. Then they will start to fight. Then he will come down, fight battle for the children of Israel. The Bible says he was the one that hardened the heart of Pharaoh, so that he will let the whole world know who he is. And the whole world today know that there is a God that can turn the whole water to rain. To blood. He can, all those 10 pestilences that he released. And then what has never happened before, he parted the Red Sea. His children passed through the dry land. Amen. And then Pharaoh came. When he entered, God covered the thing again. Turned that place to their graveyard. That is just God expressing who he is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you have to understand the God we are serving. That's why I always say, when we look at the divine timetable, I said, after the 1,000 years reign of Christ, we enter eternity. I say, we don't know what other program God will enter into. Because he's been doing it on this earth for the past millions of years. We only know man for the past 6,000 years. So when the last, the 7,000 year is over, which is the millennium, 1,000 years reign here of Christ on earth, then the white throne judgment, then hell and death and everything, they are consumed and cleansed. We don't know what next. But my prayer is that I'll be on the positive side. That should be our prayer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I hope you are clear now. You are clear? Eh? Some part. Yeah, which part is not clear?
Yeah, this part that is not clear to me is that, having known that Adam must fall, and having known that Lucifer must also fall.
Yeah? No, no. Not that Adam must fall. He knew that Adam will fall, not
okay,
must fall.
Adam will fall.
Because they mean
Lucifer,
two different things.
And Lucifer himself will also fall.
Yes.
And he still go ahead and create them.
I told you, I said to enable him express his attributes.
Okay.
I've explained that.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Yes, let me hear that, sister.
God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you.
Pastor, there's this saying that says God giveth.
Talk to
God
the microphone.
There's this saying that God giveth and God taketh. And I want to know, and it, because it baffles me a lot, I want to know if truly God gives and God takes at the same time.
No, Apostle, what do you call him? Job. Job was the one that made that statement. And that statement was recorded there to stop people from receiving hypertension when the devil comes to tear them to pieces. Now, I think Apostle Paul was the one, is it Paul or James, that said that we came to this world naked. Did you come to this world with anything? He said, there's nothing you have that you did not receive. There's nothing you have that you did not receive. So if you receive, it means it came from somewhere. So, from where it came, it can also be taken away. And since we know that whatever we receive comes from God, if it goes away, it means God allowed it to go away, and it is to work out his purpose. That's why he said, all things work together for good. Because if you have to adopt it that way, if not, you will have hypertension for nothing.
But Pastor, those who die prematurely, is it that God...
You mean miscarriage?
No. Untimely death.
When you say premature, what do you mean?
Okay, I wanted to use the word premature death.
Premature death, that is untimely death, you mean? Now when you say untimely, who owns the time?
God.
Eh?
God.
So it's untimely to you, but it's certainly timely to him. Because he decides. Do you know, did you have part on when you should come to earth? Eh? No. So why do you want to determine where you should go?
No, Pastor. As in...
So untimely death, we pray against untimely death that only the will of God will be done. The devil cannot come and cut short our lives. But a true child of God, he will never die except God allows it. If you believe it, let me hear amen.
Amen.
You can't die. He holds the key. That is an inspired song.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Okay, brother. Let me hear that, brother, before I hear you. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Okay, they are the last two. I don't know if I can tell you the five categories of people that we have eternal life tonight. Okay. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, I really follow your teaching.
Yes.
But where I am confused is that Judas was called like other apostles, but still ended up in hell. So how did you reconcile this?
Go to Revelation, John chapter 17. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Verse 12. You know, he started praying from verse 1. Are you there, sir? John chapter 17. You see the statement in verse 12. while I was with them. Amen. So that you just get the picture from verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He's talking of the disciples, the apostles. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now verse 12 is my emphasis. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So why was Judas called? So that the scripture might be fulfilled. Somebody must betray him. So God looked everyone around. Who will fulfill this ministry of betraying Jesus? So then God, who knows everybody, he showed Jesus Judas. God, who knows all things, knew that Judas can do anything to get money. So he was best. If they offer him money, he will sell his master. So he was the one qualified to betray Christ. So they brought him among the disciples to fulfill scripture. Because the scripture prophecy said that he that took, dipped the same cup with me, it's the same one that betrayed him. And you know how the last supper they had, and from there he took off. So that is why he was there, to fulfill scripture. It's clear. Thank you. The last person now.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, I'm so sorry that's going back to the previous question, but you know, answer, that's the question that guy asked.
I didn't answer? Okay, remind me.
It's not that I didn't answer, but I didn't get it very well because...
You're not satisfied.
Yes. Because I wanted to go back, but I didn't get it very well.
What's the question again?
The question is that, why did God... Because sometimes I always say that, let me just leave the scripture the way it is. Let me leave it so that I'm not plus or minus.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is that, why did God know that devil, when he comes to this earth, he's going to destroy? And they have tried all they could do, that's in heaven, because they fought against us. They tried to fight him, but they couldn't do anything. So all they have to do is to send him down to this earth, and they know we don't have any power. So all I'm asking is, sir, why did God send him to this earth and say, woe to the inhabitants of this earth, while he know that we don't have the power to overcome him, unless him alone, and he is the creator of heaven and earth, and he know that when he comes to this earth, he's going to deal with us.
Hallelujah. You know, this guy just asked a question now. Didn't Jesus know that Judas would betray him?
He knows.
Eh? So your question is, why did he make Judas his disciple?
No, what I'm asking is, why did he send him down to this earth?
Before I come there, I want to start somewhere. I'm saying the same thing now, the same question. I said, didn't Christ know who Judas was?
He knows.
And yet he still made him his disciple.
Yes, sir.
And even gave him an office in the group.
Yes, sir.
He was the treasurer.
Yes, sir.
And yet, there's no one day... In fact, he was the deacon. He was the head deacon. Eh? Now, what I'm saying is, do you know that in the whole Bible, throughout, there's nowhere Jesus ever rebuked Judas?
Nowhere.
No. Eh?
Yes, Yes, sir.
But did he know he was stealing the money?
Yes, sir. He knows.
Okay. Hallelujah. Now, the reason is simple, because Jesus must be betrayed for him to save you and I. Somebody must betray him. Now, God did not make Judas evil. God did not bring Judas and say, Judas, you come and betray Jesus. No. He searched who is qualified to do that job and found somebody that can do anything for money. That was Judas Iscariot. There were other Judases in the land, though, but this particular one, Judas Iscariot. So also it is. Now the Bible also says something. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9. Let me just read another analogy there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 17. Are you listening, sister? He said, for the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. That means God chose that man, Pharaoh. If you read the story, even just one pestilence was enough. Pharaoh will say, Moses, I made this people pack, go. God will come in the night and harden his heart. And then he will send Moses again, let my people go. If not, you go see. The same God who went and hardened the heart of Pharaoh will come and say, Moses, oh yeah, do this one. Go and turn everywhere now. Let flies fool everywhere, fool the king's house, fool everywhere. So that he will know that there's God in heaven. But he's the one that went to harden his heart. And here he see again, coming to him again and saying, let my people go. And then because he has hardened his heart, he said, lie, you know, go. Then he will go and demonstrate his power. He said, that is his sovereignty. That's the reason why you should fear God. One part of the question. The second part of the question is this. Part of the answer. Second part of the answer is this. Now, there is a mistake you are making. That mistake is that you think that every human being on earth came from Adam. Do you understand? No. It's not every human being on earth that came from Adam. Some human beings came from serpent. That's very deep. The Bible says the foundation of God standeth. He said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And them that are his. Amen. Them that are his. Satan can never take them away from God. He couldn't take Noah away. He couldn't take Enoch away. He couldn't take Methuselah away. He couldn't take Abraham away. He couldn't take Moses. He couldn't take the rest. So many names. He couldn't take them away. He couldn't take you away. You're a Christian. Eh? Have you been? Guru Maharaj. Answer me. You're a Christian.
Yes, sir.
Eh? He couldn't take you away. He can't. He can't take you away. Because all that my Father has given me will come to me. That's what the Bible says.
But sometimes, sir, Christians, they have been tempted, maybe in the things of this world.
Yes.
Devil always show them, that's many things, do this, do that. And some of them are being, they go through, I don't know how to say it, but they, I don't know. But
temptations will always come.
But is that Christ, devil? Is that devil?
Is this, that's his ministry. He's in the ministry of temptation. You are in the ministry of resistance. Amen. He will always come, and we have the power to overcome. And the power to overcome is the indwelling spirit of God. That is the standard he raised to counter the tempter. We are overcomers. And when the battle's over, why shall we wear a crown? Oh, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. Hallelujah, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. What did you force that sister to go and see now? Why you force her? Why you drive her? That's why no sister agree marry you. The way they treat them. You say no sister agree for you. Give her a microphone, Joe. Thank you. Talk.
Sir, I want to ask the second question.
Yes.
Okay, the second question.
But is the first one clear?
Yes, I'm
thank
clear.
You.
Second question said, because yes, this my friend that told me that he read in the Bible, and myself I have seen it in the Bible, that in the scripture, that every man on this earth, every single man on this earth has a purpose of being on this earth. That as for me, I have a purpose, that's destined to do this. And he now asked me, how is
you say you saw it in the Bible?
It's the Bible.
We are in the Bible.
I can search it, but I don't know that's exactly the quotation. But if I
want okay, to when you search, when you see it, you come and show me.
But sir, I still want to ask questions.
Yes.
Okay. You want to, so what?
See, the Bible tells us, every one of us, we have only one destiny. Our destiny is Romans chapter 8 verse 29, to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Our destiny is to be Christ-like. In this song we sing, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. That's our destiny. To be like him. Our true life journey. From earth to glory, I only ask to be like.
Praise the Lord, sir. I still want to
ask. That's our destiny. Whatever other purpose you have to fulfill on earth is determined by the gift he gives you. What other, any other purpose you have, the job you will do, whatever you do, is the talent he will give you. Some of them are in it, you're born with them. Some of them, you receive them at baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is what defines your purpose on earth. And he said, every man shall give account of himself. You'll give account of what you did with the talent he gave you. That defines your purpose on earth.
Thank you, sir. I'm really clear, but sir, that's coming to this. So, that some men of God I know very well that performs miracles. This one is not maybe in other church, even in this church, but later on maybe they fell. That's they deviated from the things of God, and eventually they started doing evil. That's even right now some of them are not even here again. But I know them very well. But sir, I want to ask. Does that mean that those people that they can't maybe if they did not repent again at that, is their salvation still there? Because they repented before and they got born again and they now inherited that salvation. Does that mean that if they repent, that's, I don't know, but if they are being that, if they not repent again, that's final till they die. Does that mean that that's the salvation? Is it going to restore back even when they are dead?
You have to be sure. I want you to note, how do you see somebody and say, this person has the Holy Ghost?
How?
By their fruit, you will know them. Not by their anointing. Don't look at anybody's anointing. Because, hallelujah, Judas was also anointed. Praise the Lord. Their fruit, by their fruit, you will know. A serpent will behave like a serpent. A human being will behave like a human being. A child of God will behave like God. Praise the Lord. Okay, as I round up, few minutes, just put this down quickly. 5 groups of people that are given eternal life. The first group are those that lived from the time of Abel. Or let me say from Adam now. Adam, Abel, their names are written there. Up till that man, that thief on the cross, is a period. It's a period from that point. All those who lived righteously. And you have to get a definition of righteousness. Righteousness is living by God's standard for their day. Living by God's expectation for their day. There was the message of the day of Noah. There was the message of the day of Enoch. There was the message for all other periods too. All of them, up to that, the thief on the cross. And you see, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 20. Hallelujah. They are the souls that we are in prison that Christ went to. Ephesians chapter 4. From verse 7 to verse 9. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says he descended to the lower parts, having spoiled principalities and powers. Hallelujah. They are the ones that resurrected in Matthew chapter 27. That's where the first resurrection started. Matthew 27 verse 51 to 53. When Christ was resurrecting, graves were opened. And the bodies of saints came out and they were seen walking about in the city to fulfill the prophecy that Isaiah saw in Isaiah 26 and verse 19. That is the first group. Isaiah 26 verse 19. The second group is our own group now. Those who receive Christ and are filled with the Holy Ghost. Those who are born again of the Spirit and of water, as we see in John chapter 3. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Christ in you. Romans chapter 8, you read it, verse 9, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You belong to Christ because you have his Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9. And Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ dwells in you, it will quicken your spirit also by spirit that dwelleth in you, the hope of resurrection. The only reason you will resurrect is because the Spirit of Christ is in you. So, for our age, this, that is from the day of Pentecost till rapture takes place, all those that will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this age, in this dispensation, this period, from the day of Pentecost till the day of rapture, anybody that received the Holy Ghost within that period is given eternal life. The third group is the group in the judgment of nations, Matthew chapter 25, from verse 33 and 34 and verse 46. He said, he made a statement, he said, inherit the kingdom. He said, you separate the sheep from the goat and you tell the sheep to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But the righteous, verse 46, will enter into life eternal. And I told you that this group, they are those, they did, remember, this group comes after the rapture. When the Antichrist in the last 3.5 years will descend on the Jews, according to the divine timetable we looked at, when the Antichrist will descend on the Jews, the book of Jeremiah also call it the time of Jacob's trouble. During that serious tribulation, great tribulation that the Jews will go through, some nations, some people will be hiding the Jews from the persecution. That is where you say, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was sick, you visited me, and all the rest. And they will ask him, where did we see you and we did all this to you? He points at the Jews. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. And they are, just for doing that, they are given eternal life. That's another group that receives eternal life. Hallelujah. The fourth group that receives eternal life, they are the Jews that refused the mark of the beast because they believed the everlasting gospel that was preached by the 144,000 Jews. Those ones, when Christ comes, is giving them eternal life. Hallelujah. It's giving them eternal life. You see them in Revelation chapter, they're among the categories in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. The fifth category, they are the foolish virgins. They are also the category in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, where it states those that are beheaded for the witness of Jesus. They are the foolish virgins. They are the foolish virgins. Who are these foolish virgins? They are those Gentiles. But instead of them to be busy with revelation, they are virgins, so it means they were clean, serious Christians, but they had no revelation. They were busy with their denominational system, serving in the denominational system, serving one way or the other, faithfully doing it. But the revelation, that is the oil in the lamp, they had no oil. And so, before they knew what, the rapture took place. May you not be a foolish virgin in the name of Jesus. And I always say, the foolish virgin will never locate bride assembly. The foolish virgin, they are too busy to come to bride assembly. Anyone that comes to bride assembly and hear the things you hear here, and you don't make the rapture, forget it, it is over for you. Because the foolish virgins didn't know. But you have heard, you know, you only refuse to obey. So you'll be guilty of disobedience, not foolishness. So those who are guilty of foolishness, they will pay with their own blood. But they are seen also in the millennium. Hallelujah. So they will be killed, but they will resurrect again and be in the millennium. Praise the Lord. Those are the five categories of people that will go to the eternal life. So Brother Emeka, the dead child of William Branham falls under the elect according to the mercy of the Lord, according to his mercy or his foreknowledge. He chooses who, and he knows why he will allow that child to be in heaven and allow some other child not to be in heaven. So it's, I believe that is clear. I think I have finished for today. Praise the Lord. So you see, we are not satanic. We are only revelated. We are revelated. What do you want to say, Brother Guna?